flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
I don't appreciate you promising things and I'm not sure if I'll deliver.
Sean's riffing. Sean's riffing with the FCC.
I love it.
He's like, doe a deer, female deer.
Yeah. Two middle fingers to the FCC with the with my reading of the disclaimer.
Yeah. It's all good, man. We're keeping it light on a Thursday. That's Thirsty Thursday type vibes. I appreciate Sean getting us going that way. It is indeed In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, normal configuration. And you guys are already wishing slight inconveniences
man,
on your enemies.
This is going to be good.
That's coming up at 1040, our question of the day. Man, you guys are having a blast. Yeah. I also have a question that I would like to ask of the people later in the show. And I gave Lopez a lot of crap for it earlier in, I think, a few months ago. So we'll see how that goes. But we begin with a hearty welcome to Bill Lazor, not to Houston, he's been here, but to the offensive coordinator search of the Houston Texans. Welcome, man. You know, there's some refreshments on the table over there. You know, there's a few guys, someone that you already know. So you go ahead and mingle and welcome to the party.
He knows his way around. Welcome to the party, pal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now he becomes the, fifth name that we have in this offensive coordinator search. Of course, to recap, Jeff Nixon, offensive coordinator of the Syracuse Orange. Is it Orange? We got away from Orangemen, right? We moved from Orangemen to Syracuse Orange. We made this a little bit more wider scope. I appreciate you, Syracuse. And then, of course, Gerard Johnson, quarterback's coach here for the Texans. You add Thad Lewis, quarterback coach for the Buccaneers. And then today, the Texans talking to two candidates. Bill Lazor, who was an offensive assistant, I believe, or offensive...
senior assistant.
A senior assistant. There we go. I wanted to make sure. I was like, that didn't feel like it had enough clout. And I know his title had more clout. Senior offensive assistant.
He was
assistant.
A poobah.
Poobah?
He was a poobah.
I mean, I know overseeing. I just don't know what that word... Like, what's the origin of that word?
The first time I ever heard the word poobah was on Happy Days, where... the father belonged to the Leopard Lodge.
Yeah, and he was the Grand Poobah.
He was the Grand Poobah. Yeah.
A satirical term derived from the name of haughty, prideful character Poobah in Gilbert and Sullivan's The Mikado.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, all right. So I think I became Bill Lazor. More cultured.
That was Bill Lazor.
Somehow, maybe. And then finally, Nick Cayley, who was the passing game coordinator and tight ends coach under Sean McVay in L.A. That was the longest way that you could possibly lay out this offensive... And I think we will carry on the legacy that has been started on this day by Seth Payne.
You guys are killing my promise right now.
That's why I didn't promise it. But yeah, okay, so with these names that we have today, and with specifically with the addition of Bill Lazor, what is your kind of response? What does it say about this search for you?
I looked at it more in a big picture. And,
okay, 30,000 foot view.
Yes. Tell me if I'm looking at this wrong. That's two in-house candidates.
Sure.
That they are interviewing. And if you're interviewing someone, that means you legitimately, it's not for show, you know, you legitimately believe they could be leading this offense in 2025. So as I look at that, you have Gerard Johnson and Bill Lazor. Gerard Johnson, quarterback's coach, as we all know, very close with C.J. Stroud, worked at several different places, was sort of not thrust upon, but Bobby Slowick inherited him, so to speak. He never worked with Bobby Slowick before.
Right.
And you have Bill Lazor, an actual offensive coordinator in the past. Now, his offenses have never really been, you know, what you would call top tier, but they weren't ever awful either. And he had some pretty mediocre quarterbacks with whom he worked.
I want to stop down on that that thing that you said, because that is, I think that's like worth thinking about for a second. Yeah.
They were never really that good.
They were never awful, though.
Right? They weren't awful.
I don't know. I feel like that is something. I don't know to what degree that is a thing.
Well, if I said, you know, that Reggie Atatula, he's not awful. That's not exactly a great compliment.
No, it's not a compliment. And the reason why, I'll talk more about the reason why I'm not harping on that in this moment, but the idea that, hey, man, you never had an offense where you go, oh, wow, there's the stinker.
But I think that is worth something. Average to below average quarterbacks, too.
That is because the three instances where he was the out and out offensive coordinator,
Andy Dalton
in the NFL.
Yeah.
He was there with the Cincinnati Bengals 2017 and 2018, those two seasons. That is with, I guess, an ostensibly offensive guy in Marvin Lewis and obviously Andy Dalton there, who, I mean, by that point in his tenure, Andy Dalton,
he was sliding maybe a little bit.
Yeah. Because Andy Dalton, I always used to,
and I thought he was very mistreated. He was actually pretty good.
I always thought Marvin Lewis was mistreated. Like,
well, that too.
For an organization that was wildly cheap, like they constantly made the playoffs. Now they didn't win no games in the playoffs, but they constantly made the playoffs. And if you go back and look at those teams, wasn't a lot of talent, wasn't a lot of anything being given to them.
Yeah.
But yes, Andy Dalton also, I always viewed him as the line of distinction, line of demarcation on whether or not you needed to get a new quarterback. Right. I always, and I feel like I'm not, you know, unique in that. A lot of people viewed it as like, if your guy is better than Andy Dalton, you probably keep him. And if he's not, you might need to go ahead and look. So, like, I mean, there is a level of understanding that is probably as passable as you could get as a starting quarterback. And that was what Bill Lazor was working with in that circumstance. The other instance of him being an offense coordinator was, which one was? Oh, Miami. Before that, actually.
Didn't he have Tannehill for a while?
He had Tannehill in, I believe, that 15 season. A young Tannehill that, if you remember, at any time on the broadcast, they would let you know, remember, he's athletic. He played wide receiver at Texas A&M.
Yeah, he did.
But yeah, man.
His quarterback was Gerard Johnson.
Yeah.
That's right.
That is true.
He didn't play quarterback because Gerard was the quarterback.
That is fair. Man. That is fair. Wow, I did not think about that connection. Yeah. Appreciate you bringing that up. And then the final instance was a little bit more recently, 2020 and 2021 in Chicago under Matt Nagy, another one of those guys.
And Justin Fields, whatever you think of that.
Yeah. And look, that was a time period where there was some real complaints about what that offense was with Justin Fields. But of course, Matt Nagy, you know, I guess he is a part of that Andy Reid tree. I don't know how decorated he is a part of that Andy Reid tree. How many people out of that Andy Reid tree are particularly decorated either? That's always a fun thing, is like seeing those coaching trees and how strongly.
I'm trying to think.
But yes, Matt Nagy was in that tree. And so you wonder a lot of these instances and, you know, what is actually his offense? And what does that say about what he is going to bring? Because I'm not sure that you can look at his previous stops and definitively say, I think that this is the largest influence on what it looks like.
But here's where I landed, and that's why I brought all that up.
Yeah.
You have two in-house candidates that they are serious about and they believe are qualified to be the offensive coordinator. Was Bobby's communication and implementation of his offense that bad? Was it worth, like, I've been trying to avoid piling on Bobby, you know, doing that whole thing of now that he's gone, well, let me tell you how really bad it was. You know, that, because a lot of people do that. Not once someone,
he was over there going off on everybody.
I've been trying to avoid that. And so let's still avoid that, but let's ask the very real question. They're hiring two dudes that worked with Bobby Slowick.
Or they're talking to hire.
They're talking to two
dudes. I was like, unless you want to report something to me.
I said hiring?
Yes.
They're talking to two dudes.
Co-offensive coordinator.
Breaking news, they hiring two offensive coordinators per John Lopez.
And you know what they say when you have two offensive coordinators? You don't have any offensive coordinators.
I always say that. They're talking about hiring two guys that worked with Bobby Slowick.
Yeah.
So where I'm going is, what does that say about Bobby Slowick? Like, I don't want to pile on. But, you know, there's been this talk about, like, and we've talked about it, and other shows have talked about it. Like, he was very headstrong in do it this way,
right?
Even with personnel that could not do it that way. So maybe Bobby really was, you know, had some communication issues. He really was headstrong. He really didn't have maybe the best communication and relationship. I'm not saying they were hating each other, but you know, with CJ Stroud.
Or maybe simply that the offense wasn't as collaborative as maybe
exactly.
You would hope. And it was all on him. And that's one way.
Yeah.
It could also just be that maybe there's a level of, they still want a level of connective tissue to what you had in the first 2 years, particularly with the young quarterback in CJ Stroud, or the whatever relationships that exist with Bill Lazor and or Gerard Johnson with CJ Stroud. That could be a part of that as well.
I mean, why else would you be considering Bill Lazor and Gerard Johnson if the offense was a problem? Like the
And that is not a word that we cannot use the word if. You know, the offense was a problem.
But I think where we're going here is what do they see as the biggest reason? Clearly they don't see the problem being Bill Lazor. Clearly they don't see the problem being Gerard Johnson. And clearly those guys have other ideas. That kind of narrows it down.
One would think.
Yeah.
But I mean, at this point, not a moot point, because I think it's worth like bringing up and considering in some ways, but that is a thing that does not, you don't have to worry about nearly as much, because you have moved on from Bobby Slowick from the 713. And I'm reading this, and we don't have to direct any malice or anything in the direction, but this is a text that came in, and I feel like it gives us an opportunity to discuss something. They said maybe CJ was just a little B. and again, we don't have to be jerks about or anything, but how does that then affect the inability of this offensive line to block a damn thing?
Exactly. Right?
Like, how does that affect putting certain players in positions where they are not able to succeed? I feel like one of the key ones that immediately comes to mind is putting Dalton Schultz in many, many situations where he is forced to block, when we all understand, like, regardless of what you want to say about his actual effort and his actual ability to block, we understand of what it is about him, and we also know that this offense frequently asked him to do something that was not a position for him to succeed.
But there are three great examples that we've been hearing about that point to, it was more Bobby Slowick being headstrong and stubborn than this offense not being able to get it done. You just gave one example, Dalton Schultz. If Bill Lazor and Gerard Johnson, I'm sure they were good soldiers. I'm sure they weren't like trying to, you know, stab Bobby Slowick in the back. I'm sure they were just doing what the game plan called for and transmitting that message. But they clearly have a different approach with the tight end blocking, you know, on clear passing situations. They clearly would have a different approach of these big, heavier, I wasn't going to say fat, but the heavier offensive linemen.
Is saying heavier any better?
Getting to the second level.
Okay.
So clearly Bobby said, no, the tight end is going to block. No, you got to get to the second level. And oh, by the way, the third thing is, you know, what was that communication like? Put it this way. Was CJ Stroud heard with Bobby Slowick?
Okay.
You know?
Okay, and that's what you're taking from that portion of it. But again, yeah, today you're having a couple of coordinators talking to the people in charge with the Texans. They're talking to Nick Caley, we talked a little bit about him yesterday. That's a young guy, but he has some experience, you know, in other places, has not called plays. How much do you value the idea that now they're getting to a place where they're talking to someone who has called plays at the NFL level, and Bill Lazor, regardless of how you feel about his actual tenure or the offenses that were kind of middling, I guess, when he did indeed call those plays?
I actually cannot separate those two things.
Okay.
People evolve and people add levels to their game and change. You know, we've talked a little bit here and there about Chip Kelly. I went down a rabbit hole of an old Chip Kelly podcast with, I forget who it was. I need to remember, because it was a really good podcast, but and he was talking about this exact same thing, how what he's doing now is slightly different to, you know, so coaches can change
100%,
but boy, that's three stops as an OC that didn't take, you know, that's
right.
Three, It wasn't like a young guy. I think Laser's 52, but it wasn't like a young 37, 38-year-old like Gerard Johnson or a 32-year-old, I believe. Nick Cayley, whatever.
No, Cayley's older.
He's older. One of them is younger. Maybe whomever it was. Nixon is older, I know. But either way, it wasn't like this young coach.
Well, when I say older, like older than that is what I meant.
Yeah,
Nick Cayley is 42 years of age.
Yeah, okay. So it's still young as a coordinator who all of a sudden maybe had a different stop, a previous stop as an OC, and now, you know, has changed. No, he's been it three times. So I'm not real high on Bill Lazor, but the thing I'm taking away is the Texans are talking to him and are high on him at some level. So I think it just points to this offense and the communication and Bobby Slowick, it might have been worse than we thought.
And, I mean, it would stand to reason if that was the case. Mm-hmm. That would explain some things and also why, like, it took so long to find any level of any level of juice, any level of you know, progress with this team. And you hope that, like, just even just off of that alone, because you see, you were able to get a few things done, even in a circumstance. And I'm doing some assuming here, but, you know, if that is the case, right, rock with me here. You're able to get a few things done. How much better does it look if you have a system that's more collaborative, or a room, rather, that's more collaborative, where you're able to, you know, express those ideas? And I imagine that's some of what the Texans, if that was indeed the case, that's what they would be working through and looking through.
That's every job in every industry.
Yeah.
Every job in every industry. This show, you know, how much better is it when we're collaborative? You know, I mean, people,
collaboration is always going to be a,
you know what I'm saying?
A desired.
Yes, I ain't.
When Figgy or I or you are heard and seriously heard by the other two people, that stands to reason here as well. And the 281 says this, and as much as I want to cringe, I don't think I can. Said it sounds like Bobby had a Bill O'Brien view on his offense, inflexible and unwilling to change. It does sound like that. It does.
Yeah, especially if you don't want to adjust.
Yeah, it does. And especially when you balance that with, hey, they feel pretty good about what Gerard might do different. Hey, they feel pretty good about what Bill Lazor might do different.
At least insofar as they are willing to have a full conversation about this and, you know, get an idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm interested in this, and I appreciate that the Texans are, again, casting a fairly wide net. Ellie, we're still early on, and I don't know, like, how many more names could you expect, or could you reasonably feel that they dig into? Because this is five here, and that's a solid group.
Yeah,
you haven't had a lot of guys that have a lot of experience, and as you mentioned yesterday, 2 days ago, they still have not officially gotten to Chip Kelly. One of the things that you did want to talk about, and we'll talk more about that, is like, there's some guys with connections to Chip Kelly on this staff.
Yeah.
Like, do you think we eventually get there? Because I know that you were very staunch on the idea that, hey, you have not, nobody has actually gotten to that point yet. Do you believe that they do eventually get to the Chip Kelly? Because we've had a lot of conversations, the royal we, everybody around this Texas thing about, hey, Chip Kelly and even being a preferred the candidate.
I think the most interesting thing about these five guys, is it three or four that have connections to Chip Kelly? I think it's at least three. Bill Lazor has a connection to Chip Kelly. Jeff Nixon, right?
Yes.
Has a connection to Chip Kelly. Was it Nick Cayley's the other one that has a connection to Chip Kelly? I think he was an intern or an assistant coach, an assistant to the position coach with Chip Kelly. So that's interesting. Maybe it's sort of a roundabout way to get to Chip Kelly, but still,
do you feel like they would have got to him by now, though?
Yes,
because I'm kind of wondering if Chip Kelly actually want to be an OC in the NFL at this point.
Well, that's a great question. I mean, let's not forget he went from head coach at UCLA to offensive coordinator at Ohio State. Maybe that's his cush job.
And it sounds like Chip Kelly has a view on life that I have, which is maximum fun, minimum responsibility.
Yeah.
That is the way I would like to live my life. I don't know. I don't always get it that way. But, you know, if I can have maximum fun, minimum responsibility, that's the way I'd like to live it. And that's what a move like to Ohio State feels like. And
so,
I mean,
is he going
to
change that?
It feels like in order to move away from that, you would have to be in a circumstance that really, especially, it's not the upward to the head coach.
And it's
position.
The same position.
Right.
You move to the same position and making less money.
I mean, yeah, probably, because I imagine that there's going to be big money put on the table for you know, him at Ohio State, especially considering that they just lost their defense coordinator.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting. There's been a lot of, as we talked about, there's been a lot of conversation about the possibility or like the interest that would be logical especially being able to work with someone like C.J. Stroud in this offense. But we'll see. But yeah, man, the two coordinators talking to the Texans today. Nick Caley being the one that has like a lot of buzz. I know that Albert Breer wrote was it a few weeks ago or whatever? It might have been a few months ago rather about how when Jerod Mayo was looking to fill his staff, Nick Caley was offered $3 million to be office coordinator, and it's worth noting that. That is at the top.
Yeah.
That is near the top or at the very top.
That was the most any coordinator made last year.
Of coordinators, year. Offensive, yeah. I think Todd Monken was one of those guys. Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, Mike Kafka was up there.
That was the other one. I couldn't remember the other
for
one.
For the Giants, which I was like, hey, how did that work out for you? One of those guys.
Yeah, that
really
one
earning
good,
that money.
Yeah, that one good year, though.
Yeah, and that would be a pay cut.
That was it.
That would be a pay cut for Chip Kelly.
As of right now, are we?
No,
certain?
No, because they're gonna.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not sure, but I mean,
they're talking $4 and $5 million.
Yeah, well, his defensive counterpart just got what five? Was it three? No, it was three at Penn State.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I think he was making two at Ohio State.
Yeah.
I mean, the Texans have money. However, would they be willing to be highest paid coordinator in the league? Money that remains to be seen. But I guess you'd have to start by having an interview. But yeah. Two more coordinators on the docket for the Texans happening today between Nick Caley, a pass game coordinator for the Rams, and Bill Lazor, who was a senior offensive assistant here. Another internal candidate that is there for the Texans to consider. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, just getting going on a Thursday. Let's turn here. It is Thursday, and tonight the Pro Bowl games get going. There's the Thursday Skills Challenge. Are you in on this? And what they'll be taking part in on Thursday, we'll talk about it next.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Adatula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Happy Thursday to you. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Attula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you on... What is kind of like a rainy Thursday? Not quite rainy, it's like...
Gloomy.
A little gloomy. I don't know, man. Like, it's been overcast a lot recently, and I guess that's to be expected in February. I probably should just get over that. But I literally just got some new plants. Like, I'm becoming a plant dude.
That's a good thing to get into.
I was trying to, just making an apartment look nice.
Yeah.
Just trying to dress it up, for people coming through. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And now I had never thought about, how much sunlight is coming through this thing? And now I'm like, is this the right place for this plant?
Hey, you got a balcony, don't you? Patio?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No. I ain't got all the money.
That's tough.
I had the money for all that.
Windows, baby.
I just extra $500.
Yeah, I ain't got it for you, man. I don't have it for you.
You can look at the skyline.
Yeah, sorry.
This one is extra $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, is the sun just going to come in? Just a little bit of sun is all I need. I just needed to have some light. All right. Let's have a good one. Now, typically, like a gloomy, rainy day might be great for sitting and watching TV, especially if there's something that you want to watch on. And it seems like, I don't know, I'm interested. Are you guys interested in the NFL product of the day, which is Pro Bowl Thursday night, or as they are calling it, the Thursday Skills Show? That will involve, obviously all the Pro Bowlers, including your very own Pro Bowlers that are going to be involved in some of these activities. All these all-star games have lost their luster for a lot of folks, and the NFL in particular, they saw that the Pro Bowl game, especially like you, it's hard to have the same level of physicality that makes the game interesting and fun for folks. So they switched to this different kind of way of doing things. And I don't know. I was always curious to see how many people actually wanted to tap in with these things.
Okay, so a couple things. Foremost, I think the bigger discussion is you know, the All-Star thing, which we've talked about here and there. And of course, you know, we're not ignoring the Rockets playing tonight. We're talking about this. So I was looking
Let's talk about some Rockets.
Yeah, well, we will. I scolded somebody on YouTube, by the way. Which
you don't have to scold them.
Why you guys treat them like that, man?
Well, they know I love them.
Like you don't have to act like a dad. Act like a grandpa in that situation. You know what I mean?
No, I'm acting like me.
Oh. Shit, like, it's too damn bad.
Well, that's not the grandpa stage. I feel like when you get to the grandpa stage, yeah. Like now you're just like really nice. In a way that you were probably a hard ass.
Yeah.
That actually annoys me.
Do you get the mean grandmas and grandpas now?
I don't know.
Because I feel like they spoil the kids more.
Yeah, it's all spoiled.
Especially if
there hasn't. Most of those mean grandmas and grandpas had to raise those kids.
That's
like
what
a
I was
going to
say.
Yeah.
If they raised them, then that's a little different.
That's different.
But if they ain't got to deal,
hell,
do nothing with them.
Hell no.
Here go $100, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, you want some candy? You can get all the candy you want.
That's what I do. Is she going to be able to eat that? I said, of course she can eat that. She's in our house.
That's crazy.
But, okay, so first the scolding.
Don't worry about the scolding.
No.
Skip forward to the next thing.
Because I want to make it clear, you know, where we are. Because it's like, a Pro Bowl, which is part of this discussion. You should be talking Rockets. Look, you're not going to find two people that watch basketball, especially Reggie. I watch the local teams, you know, but...
Last night, I was in full
sicko
mode.
I was in real sicko mode.
All three.
Were you watching that women's tournament? What's that?
Unrivaled?
Yeah.
I actually haven't watched as much Unrivaled as I...
I know what that was, but...
3-on-3 basketball to give, like, some of these women, especially the big ones in the WNBA, a place domestically to play as opposed to having to go overseas playing Russian than the like.
Yeah, so I'm just talking about, like, old narratives. I mean, those days are gone. You know, Reggie just absorbs basketball like crazy, and we both absorb Astros and Rockets like crazy. And I think it ties in with this because old narratives can be bad and old narratives can be good. So I was watching some highlights. In fact, I just called it up of the 2004 Pro Bowl, an actual game. And the three quarterbacks on one team were Drew Brees, Tom Brady,
good quarterback,
and Peyton Manning.
Were they not in the Super Bowl?
I mean, you got Drew Brees, Tom Brady.
Wait, was this when we had the Pro Bowl after the Super Bowl?
Yeah, having that after the Super Bowl, yeah.
Yes.
Which I think they should go back to.
Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning on the same Pro Bowl team.
Didn't they used to bounce back and forth between before the Super Bowl, after? It was like when, you remember
For a while
when,
it was always after.
When like Matt Nagy Mike McCarthy, when their offenses would be bad, then they would do the trade-off of like, I'm taking play calling duties.
Yeah.
Now I'm giving play calling duties away.
Yeah.
That feels like that's what the Pro Bowl did. It's like before the Super Bowl. No, after the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So what I'm getting at is like that's the good narrative of what these All-Star games used to be. But those days are gone and they're never coming back. You know, they're gone and they're never coming back because of money, injuries, interest. That was in, by the way, Hawaii, which was that was their first mistake, getting away from Hawaii. Because guys would just go just for that.
Yeah, why did they get rid of that?
Who wants to go to Orlando?
I know they weren't trying to save no money.
Yeah. Who wants to go to Orlando?
You know? Disney?
Disney World. Yeah, you can take your kids.
Yeah, but that's the only reason you want to go to Orlando.
Exactly. So what I'm getting at is like those days are never coming back. Now you have, what's it officially called?
The Pro Bowl games in general. And then tonight they have the skills show, the Thursday skills show, which includes games like... One of them is called Helmet Harmony. I was like, I have no idea what this means. But passing the test where quarterbacks try and hit targets at various distances, kind of akin to one of the things that you know of. But before the challenge, each quarterback selects a Pro Bowl Games teammate to answer 5 trivia questions about current Pro Bowlers. And for each correct answer, the quarterback gets an additional 10 seconds.
Yeah.
You add a little gamification. The reason why I give you all the rules there, because I'm going to be honest, y'all know y'all don't care.
Right.
Nico Collins is going to be the trivia teammate of Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
So Nico Collins' knowledge of the rest of the Pro Bowlers will determine if Joe Burrow succeeds or not for the AFC in this thing.
So that's my point. Like, it is gone.
And you're like, I don't care.
No. Here's what I'll say. If you like games, those days are gone. If you like game shows, tune in. It's a game show.
Yeah.
The Pro Bowl is a game show.
You're not trying to see the relay race? Daniil Hunter is in the relay race, baby.
It's a game show.
It reminds me of those competitive game shows.
It's a game show. It's like those ones, those videos you see, whatever, you know, jumping over crazy stuff.
The Japanese game show.
Yeah.
Or if you watch the Space City Network, you see that Extreme Tag.
Yes. It's Extreme Tag. It's a game
show. Which look kind of fun.
And if you like game shows, tune in.
I feel like it's football is always one of the things that mm-hmm. they try to do is like, hey, have these dudes without their helmets on where you get to know their personality. Yeah. And that's one of the things I do enjoy. And I'm hoping to get a little bit of a feel of that. Although I feel like watching Danielle Hunter run a relay race is just going to look like the Terminator running or like the, what is the T-1000? Is that what it was? Mm-hmm. I never remember what the mm-hmm. actual name of it was. But yes, that's where another one of your Texans is going to be taking part in all of this. And then, of course, always dodgeball is always an interesting thing. But also, you know what some of this is? We're in an era where you don't really have to watch anything live. Just hey, yeah. when somebody cuts it up and puts it on social media mm-hmm. or YouTube, yeah. you can circle back around to it.
Yeah. yeah. It's a clip type of subject.
Oh, you mean like a game show?
No,
yeah, I'm just kidding.
Nobody was fighting you on that.
Yeah. No, it is like a game show. Like one of the competitive game shows where mm-hmm. you climb the rope and fly over this bridge and all
those
that
ones
stuff.
Where they're jumping over bouncy balls and falling in the water.
Remember that show Wiped Out?
yeah.
Man, Wiped Out went on for a long, longer
than I thought.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Derek Stingley is going to be involved, as many others are going to be, in the actual like flag football finale, where the guys will be playing like a classic 7-on-7 flag football game.
That'd be cool.
Then we get into that space where Derek Stingley is going to mm-hmm. be able to put on a show, just like going out there. How many picks does Derek Stingley get in the flag?
17.
Okay, I think that might be a little high. I was going to set the over under at 1.5, but you know what? 17 sounds good to me.
And it also is kind of cool because flag football is going to be an Olympic sport. You can kind of like do some scouting there.
But remember that was something that was real contentious because mm-hmm. the dudes that like play flag football, they're like, you can't just, it's not the same as NFL football.
I'd like to find out.
Yeah, the guy that's better than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I'd like to find out. Yeah.
Somebody said, there's no contact for fear of injury, but we have them running hard cut relays. I mm-hmm. don't know that they're running those at the same the same speed or whatever. However,
all it takes is one person.
That is true.
It's a roll-lay ankle.
That is all it takes. But I don't know. I'll have it. This is the benefit of having three T's, or maybe the curse, is that mm-hmm. you can just throw it up there on one and see if there's something that's interesting, it'll pop up. Mm-hmm. I will try and be the curator for you, dear listener, because it seems like majority of y'all like, no, keep this away from me and my families. I'll try and see if there's anything fun, and I'll try and bring it back to you tomorrow.
I just watch the clips on social media, man.
That's right. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get to the thing that it seems like Sean was very excited about. Mm-hmm. The question of the day today, which I don't even want to talk about the inspiration, but just answer it. 713-572-4610. If the person that you hate the most were to experience one slight inconvenience every day for the rest of their lives, what would you choose for them? Again, 713-572-4610. Let's discuss that next.
Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right. Welcome, Payne and Pendergast, because I know that they're listening at this moment. They were really excited about mm-hmm. what this segment was going to sound like. I hope that you guys are getting involved as well on the text line, 713-572-4610. Question of the day. And, of course, my mom always said it's not good to hate people. So, you know, just first and foremost, mm-hmm. you know, deal with your heart in that way. But if you do have a person that you hate, and if the person that you hated the most were to experience one slight inconvenience every day for the rest of their lives, what would you choose that to be? Let's be some haters. Let's be petty in this moment.
I had a very irritating slight inconvenience yesterday. So we celebrated as best we can. By eating Chinese food.
As best as you want.
The Lunar New Year.
Okay. Shout out to all the folks celebrating the Lunar New Year.
You didn't celebrate over your son's house, did you?
Yeah.
I bet he did.
No, that's tonight. We go over there on Thursdays.
You going to roast that pig?
You never know. By the way, shout out to Heights Asian Cafe. The food was fabulous. That's one of my favorite places. But just one of those days. You know, sometimes something just hits you different. So after I ate, had a little bit of indigestion.
Did you have nausea and heartburn?
No.
Maybe even diarrhea?
No.
Because I have the perfect solution for you if that's the case.
And that is?
Pepto-Bismol.
There we go.
I was like, I hope you got the joke.
No, I knew what you were saying. And then indigestion when I went to bed, so I was throwing back sparkling waters like crazy. And then I woke up in the middle of the night.
Sparkling water.
Whatever you want to call it. Ooh. Bubbles. I was throwing back bubbles like crazy. And then I woke up in the middle of the night, and I thought about this question that you had posed earlier, and I said, this is perfect. It's perfect. Slight inconvenience. You're not going to ask for somebody to be dismembered, you know, or get a divorce.
Someone threw up there the Ow My Balls show from Idiocracy. Yeah. I'm like, I feel like that's not slight. I feel mm-hmm. like we're going a little far there, but I appreciate the effort there, mm-hmm. Dear Texter. But yeah, that's the one you're going with, is just indigestion.
Indigestion is a slight inconvenience that I would
chronic indigestion.
Because it's awful. It's not like I'm going to die. You know what it is. It's just awful. Yeah, it's a very bad inconvenience.
Gastrointestinal things are a good, you know, subsection of this question, because I know that people have gone to, like, the diarrhea. You always, like, when you are in that mode, you are constantly Google Maps. Like, how far am I away from a bathroom at any given time? You have to keep that front of mind. Imagine that being like a program that runs in your brain at all times for the rest of your life. I see. That seems absolutely terrible. Somebody on the text line said, run out of gas every day. I feel like that's more than slight inconvenience, but that would be tough.
That's a lot.
But speaking of gas, D from Tomball, want them to have bad pungent gas. I think this is a good place to go. I would even go as far as, instead of just having bad pungent gas, just like being musty. Because that is an allegation that you can't get over.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Like that one ruins your social life. Mm-hmm. That one makes it hard for you to advance at work. That one just is hard.
You'll always remember that person for being musty for the rest of your life.
Correct.
Yes, you mean that's the musty guy.
I remember the kid that used to pee on herself all the time.
Oh, God.
Kindergarten.
Well, that's one.
In kindergarten, like, yeah, she is always peeing her pants.
Well, first of all, the bar is set with what Seth said. Like, yes. So y'all got to beat this. A slight inconvenience that you wish upon your worst enemy. Seth had, like, an incredible run right off the cuff. He said,
which made me a little concerned, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, he went right there.
I hope he's all right. Hope
your wife or girlfriend has a, quote, very close male work friend.
That's right. Work husband.
A work husband.
That's right.
That's awesome. That because there is not, like, what was it you that said, why are you making that lasagna?
No, I mean, she starts cooking stuff that's not for the house. It's for her to take to work. Like, hold on.
Jeff likes this.
You're cooking for that man? What's happening here?
No, the worst is, me and Jeff going out to, we went out to lunch. He actually took me out to lunch.
Oh, yeah,
like,
great.
Wait, what?
Great.
Hey, it's always in a place where you can't be jealous, but you are. Right?
Like, but the thing
you're not
is,
allowed to be.
But
though.
The thing is, if Susie take you out for lunch, oh, it's over. Issue.
It's over.
Yeah, don't be letting no other girl buy you food. What's wrong with you?
Constantly running out of toilet paper.
That's solid.
That's a solid. Good one.
Yeah. Or at the very least, just like, even if you had toilet paper, it's in the other room. Yeah. Like, it's never nearby. Mm-hmm. You always got to.
You
got to
do the waddle.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to do the waddle.
Some other ones that came in, can't find the TV remote. That's a good answer.
Oh.
That's a good answer. How about this? Every time they plug in the USB cord, you have to flip it over a million times. Because, I mean, I feel like we already all have that, to be fair.
How about resetting your password? Yeah, like, you constantly have to reset your password.
That's a good one. Because I went through that yesterday where I had to, because nowadays, like, with all these two-factor authentication and all that, it's not even just reset the password. You got to go into your email. You got to get a code. You got to bring the code back. Mm-hmm. Right? You got to get your phone. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to watch the streaming site that I
once
haven't
a week,
used for a little
twice
bit.
Twice a week. Got to do that.
Stub a different toe on a piece of furniture every day. Classic.
What about having permanent hiccups for the rest of your life?
That's the one. That was the one that I had. Because hiccups drive you mad. Hiccups is like being waterboarded in a way. It is torture. Slow, painful, or I mean, it's mildly painful torture.
It's somebody who have permanent hiccups, right? Somebody that I want to say NFL Hall of Famer, right? I couldn't remember who it was.
It was, and I can't
was
place
it Barry? I don't remember if it was like Barry Sanders.
It was
or
something like that.
It was somebody.
By the way, here's one that's oddly specific and clearly coming from a woman. I hope he bites his lip in the same spot every other meal. He knows what he did.
That might not be a woman. Sometimes, but actually,
biting your lip when you're eating is the worst.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what am I doing? Am I that big of an animal?
Hiccups is absolutely a winner in my book right now. How about this one? All their technology, every technology that they come in contact with, runs slow.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That is the worst. It's like old dial-up.
You can't Google nothing. The computer at work slow. Mm-hmm. You try and play some video games. Yeah. All of it.
What about this one? And people probably go through this already, but permanent traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Always in traffic, man.
You're like,
traffic for the rest of your life.
It's 2 a.m. and I just wanted to run to Whataburger. How are y'all all out here? What is happening?
By the way, I heard back from He Knows What He Did guy. It is a guy.
There you go.
Says, I'm a 350-pound black man, Lopez. Okay.
Oh, man. Congratulations. it was like, that was interesting.
Constipation. Boom.
I do appreciate it. We mentioned the stubbing your toe. Yeah, constipation is tough. I mentioned the stubbing your toe. This person, the reason why we read this, you'll understand as soon as I say it. baby mama hit her shin on the coffee table or bed frame every day. I appreciate that you put a name on it. He was like, look, this is not just about a nebulous person I hate. This person in particular.
This is my baby mother.
Somebody said Bo Jackson had hiccups for a year.
Is that what it was?
But I imagine for Bo Jackson, I was like, I mean, it's an inconvenience, but Bo Jackson.
Because I think he got surgery where he stopped that, but he had it for like a year or more.
Here's a good one. You never have the right USB cord. That's the worst. You're like, this one doesn't fit my phone. This one doesn't fit my...
I don't know how these work.
What about having a permanent sty in your eye?
Oh, God. That's...
Just permanent sty.
That's just cruel.
All right. If you wanted to make it like a sports inconvenience, how would you do... Because I was thinking like, immediately I was like, could just a terrible... Your sports team is all super terrible, but I feel like that would not be the one.
I was going to say.
Right? Because at that point, you could just drop out and just not care, and that's almost freeing in a way.
You always have a good quarterback.
But not a great one.
Yeah, so you're not going to the top of the draft.
Just an quarterback.
You're not going to the Super Bowl.
Just like mediocre ass team always.
Yeah.
I was going to say holding on every drive.
Oh
no.
Like once a drive.
Yeah. There's a lot of Texas fans that are like, oh, so you hate me then? Because I've already been in that place and it was hell.
As soon as you start holding.
Like,
damn.
Yeah.
10 yards.
Oh, you're playing the Chiefs every week.
Oh, wow. Condolences to the texter from the 573 who said they've had hiccups daily for almost 5 years.
Ooh. Yeah, I actually knew somebody that had hiccups for years. And he actually had a health problem. He didn't know that at the time, but it didn't work out for him at the end.
Wait, I thought hiccups were just like this nebulous thing that we didn't understand. But like they can actually be signals of a health problem?
I think that's what, especially if you have it constantly like that, and the guy I knew just didn't go to the doctor like that, and come to find out, he was really sick, ended up being in the vegetable stage, and it just went bad, man.
Always have a pebble in your shoe.
Oof.
That's a good one.
I might become, what is it, Mac Hollins?
Yeah, just go barefoot.
Yeah, barefoot, if we're going to do that.
Yeah.
Shoes never stay tied. That's tough. Need the sneeze but can't get it out. And conversely, anytime they sneeze, you get like the 10 sneeze run where you just can't stop sneezing. That's solid.
Or what about having that cough that I've been having for the past 3 months?
Yeah.
I will put that on my worst enemy.
Mm-hmm. Every time you go to buy tickets, the system is down. Oh, yeah, that's a good sports one as well. Oh, someone said being good enough for the 16th pick every year.
Yeah, that's kind of right like the quarterback thing.
Eight and nine.
Oh, hell, we're picking 16th again.
Eight and eight.
What about, like, you always lose, like, your team always loses, but it's always close?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Socks fall down. Oh,
yeah.
Like especially if you got the ankle ones where they don't stay.
Yeah.
Now you just got like, you got a sock that is like crawling up.
Your sock up.
That's terrible.
Oh, here's the one with the sports. Get pulled out at security every time you enter the stadium. Like they got to do the hand or the wand search and all that.
Yeah, that is mildly inconvenient. That's definitely mildly inconvenient. Mm-hmm. Or, right, where if you are one of the fans that maybe doesn't have the good fortune of being live at the game and you're watching it on TV, your TV, like the it always buffers.
Oh boy,
or something to that effect.
Yeah,
where like your zipper stays down all the time. I feel like that one might be too mild. Oh, okay. And I like this from the 713. We've just gone full James here, who will show up again later in the program. Funny enough, your quarterback throws for 30 touchdowns, but also 30 interceptions. Shout out to Crab Leg Boys.
That's James.
That is him.
Yeah.
What about as a media member? You know how we got the credentials.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you go, they got to check your credentials.
Oh boy,
every single place.
Did y'all have
So you get carded everywhere basically as a regular human?
And that happened to me multiple times this season.
Same guy too. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, as soon as you walk in.
He grabs your credential, looks at the credential picture.
Looks
at the credential picture again.
Let that man do his job.
Same dude.
Like, Bill, you know who I am. Yeah, what you doing?
You go to 20 freaking games. You've been going for years, or not 20, 10. You know, because, and it's like, oh, let me make sure that's you.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we got some youth sports coach beef from the 281 who said, as a youth sports coach, coach that wins everything, I wish he would have a team full of kids that just don't listen on game day. Oh, on game day in specific? Because I was like, a team that doesn't listen all the way around would drive you insane, but it might be more insane that they listen during practice and then right when it goes to apply it to the game, they're like, sorry, coach. Don't remember what we're supposed to do.
I love this one, too. You got to spend every weekend with your in-laws, and they don't drink.
Why are you assuming that your in-laws are bad? You might like it.
Hey, I have a good time with mine.
I know, but you can't drink. You're like, can I open a beer? No, well.
This might be a winner for me, personally, considering how much I hate these. Permanent Charlie horse.
Ooh, man.
Cramping up. Nope, yep. Don't want it. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I tell you what's not torture in any way, shape, or form is listening right here to Sports Radio 610. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it, right? And just by doing that, you have a chance to win big on a slam dunk in Vegas national contest. Listen to Sports Radio 610 on the Odyssey app for an hour each day for your entry into that contest. And remember, the winner will be headed to Vegas with flight and hotel accommodations for you and three guests, plus $20,000 cash to fund the ultimate viewing experience in the first two rounds of the college basketball tournament. And remember, this is a national contest, right? So we would love it if it was somebody from Houston, somebody who listens to Sports Radio 610 who wins.
Break
this.
Up, saw something, man.
So get yourself on that Odyssey app. That's a couple dollars, I still don't think that you could do that. But break us. See, now you done got me saying it. download and listen to the Odyssey app. Make sure you log in for your chance to enter. All right. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where I said James would come back around, right?
Yeah.
He's going to get to the Super Bowl. Clearly, he's not playing. I'll tell you how that works next.